Today is Monday, November 22nd, 2010. I'm Jess Landing.
I'm Claire Eagle, and this is a special Fun Drive 2010 edition of News 101.
Right here on News 101.
What motivated you to become a candidate in the provincial election?
The media portrayal of last week's protest that resulted in polarizing images of black-clad activists taking to the streets.
He was just explaining to us the reason why they wanted to show this film on campus.
The official stance is that we are for the Olympics.
News 101 reporter Brad Pepping was there.
By discriminating against homeless people in Vancouver, there's a disproportionate impact on Aboriginal people. people as well as people with disabilities.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us? Just a big mistake.
Good evening. It's 5:07 and time for a full hour of independent news and tireless money grubbing. You're listening during our annual Fund Drive 2010, and CITR only asks once every year for listeners to support the station. But remember, your pledge will support us for an entire year. So, if you want to donate, call 604-822-8648 to give us some money.
And today in our show, we will be discussing the importance of independent media with Colleen Kimmett of the online news magazine, thetie.ca. We will also bring you Megan Turcotto's weekly City Hall update, as well as Adam Yanush's arts report, both of which you can hear every Monday on News 101. Most importantly, we will be giving you important information on how you can support CITR and your local independent media sources. Remember, as Claire said, you can call 604-UBC Unit, and that's 604-822-8648 at any time to donate, or you can go online and donate at citr.ca/donate.
All of this plus your weekday weather forecast right here on News 101, your source for independent, local, national, and international news.
But first, the headlines from Free Speech Radio News.
Headlines for Free Speech Radio News. The political fallout of Ireland's financial bailout is in full swing today. Two major opposition parties, Fine Gael and Labour, called for immediate general elections so that a new government can craft a new recovery plan. The Greens called for polls in late January. The leadership crisis comes after the Irish government asked for an EU-IMF loan. A recovery plan due Wednesday is expected to call for an increase in individual income taxes as well as a downsizing of banks that overleverage themselves in UK and US real estate holdings. And the British government is facing strong criticism even from within its own ranks today after announcing an $11 billion direct loan to Ireland. From London, Naomi Fowler reports.
British Chancellor George Osborne says Ireland is a friend in need. Just a few years ago, he called for Britain to emulate the so-called Celtic Tiger. Ireland has one of the lowest corporation taxes in Europe at 12.5%, pulling in US multinationals like Google, Microsoft, eBay and Intel. Corporate tax is 28% in the UK. Unlike Ireland, Britain always refused to join the euro and retains its own sterling currency. Now that there are whispers of other failed states to follow, such as Portugal and Spain, and fears that will trigger a collapse of the euro, British politicians on all sides want the UK to avoid picking up any more tabs to rescue other EU members. The UK already has its own $212 billion budget deficit. The government is currently imposing savage cuts in public services in order to claw back over $9 billion. That's about a billion less than they're now lending the Irish government. Naomi Fowler, FSRN, London.
The FBI issued its annual report on hate crimes in the U.S. today, and they say that bias-motivated crimes are down. The nearly 18% decrease may actually be greater than the hard numbers reveal. More law enforcement agencies reported data to the FBI last year, so the 1,179 fewer incidents are spread over more jurisdictions. More than half of the hate-fueled crimes were racist in nature. About a quarter were religious. Many hate crimes continue to go unreported, particularly in immigrant and minority groups. And in a report released to dovetail with the FBI data, the Southern Poverty Law Center issued its analysis of more than a decade of FBI hate crime information. They found that victims of violent hate crimes are twice as likely to be or be perceived as being gay. A precedent-setting trial opened at the International Criminal Court at The Hague today. Former Vice President of the Democratic Republic of Congo, Jean-Pierre Bemba, pleaded not guilty to charges of war crimes and crimes against humanity committed when he dispatched his personal militia to the Central African Republic to quell an uprising there in 2002. The prosecution listed graphic examples of hundreds of brutal rapes and murders. Deputy Prosecutor Fatou Bensouda illustrates to the court how Bemba's forces used rape as a tool of war.
Witness 23, a father, a husband, and a community leader, identified himself to the MLC soldiers as the representative of his village. They replied, and I quote, "Right, you are exactly the kind of person we are looking for because you protect the rebels." Targeting him specifically, they raped him publicly in front of his family. Afterwards, MLC soldiers then raped his wife in his presence. His daughter, a minor, was also raped until she passed out.
Bemba is charged in his role as de facto military commander of the MLC, or Movement for the Liberation of Congo. Prosecutors say the case will define the level to which military commanders around the world can be held accountable for not stopping war crimes committed on their watch. Almost 350 people died in a stampede today in Cambodia. Nearly 2 million gathered in Phnom Penh for an annual festival. Some lost consciousness in the huge crowd, and panic followed. In Pakistan, two suspected U.S. drone attacks in as many days have reportedly killed at least 14 people. Two of the dead are believed to have come from other countries. The U.S. government has increased attacks using the pilotless aircraft in North Waziristan in recent months, and reports suggest the U.S. now wants to increase the range of such attacks beyond the tribal area. Over the weekend, Pakistan's foreign minister, Abdul Basit, denied that the U.S. had requested permission to expand the reach of the remote-controlled planes into the densely populated city of Quetta. But Basit also clearly said that any such request would certainly be denied. Despite such formal denials, it's broadly believed that Pakistan tacitly approves covert CIA drone operations in the tribal belt. For Free Speech Radio News from Tampa, Florida, I'm Nell Abram.
Thanks as always to FSRN for bringing us those headlines. Daily headlines and their full newscast can be found at FSRN.org. I'm Claire Eagle.
And I'm Jess Landing. And now for some more information on our ongoing fund drive.
Farm created monster, mad cow, or bird flu.
You got it.
Okay. Okay. Hey, you've had a lot of.
Without CITR filling the airways, that's what you would hear. Vancouver would lose an essential source of independent and diverse music and spoken word programming. And we know that commercial radio doesn't play what we play. Vancouver would lose multicultural programming, community and student access to media, and all the shows and events CITR sponsors. But really, we don't want to imagine this world. So support CITR during this fund drive. Call 604-822-8648, 604-UBC-UNIT, or online at citr.ca/donate. The unique sounds of CITR radio are possible only through your continued support. Call 604-822-8648. 604 UBC Unit, or online at citr.ca/donate.
CITR Fund Drive 2010, November 16th to 25th. Visit citr.ca to learn more.
Remember, we are just under halfway to reaching our goal of $30,000. Call 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/donate to help us go the distance. I'm Claire Eagle.
And I'm Jess Landing. We now go to our weekly feature with Colleen Kimmett from the online news magazine, thetai.ca.
Hello.
Hi, Colleen. Could you tell us a bit about why you think having an independent media source is important for Vancouver and the surrounding areas?
Yeah, sure. I mean, over the past few years, we've seen an increased concentration in the media. And what that does is essentially silence a lot of diverse voices. And the Tai'i and programs like the one you've got at CITR are a way to get those voices out and represent a wider segment of society.
I think it's definitely interesting that when you think about CITR has actually been on the air for over 25 years, like since 1982. And, I mean, when you think about it, that's been a really long time. It'd be great to see CITR on the radio for another 25 years. I mean, if you think back, imagining the stories that have been reported since then and the music that's been played, I think it really diversifies, like, Vancouver's radio frequencies and gives something else to listeners that just can't be found somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, I mean, it's incredible that you've got such a history there. And I think that's another thing that we've lost in the media as it's become more consolidated is an institutional knowledge that happens when you have reporters working on the same beat for many, many years.
I think it's definitely true what you're saying, and I think we also saw a lot of that at Media Democracy Day when we reported on. We saw a lot of different speakers discussing the problems with the consolidation of the media and the importance of independent media. And I think it's definitely important not just to necessarily report on stories that aren't being covered, but even just to bring a different viewpoint or to give, I think, even students a chance to be involved that way. I think CITR does a great job of sort of combining these two ends. On the one hand, bringing a new focus to the media and a new perspective, but the other hand, giving people who wouldn't have the chance otherwise to make their voices heard the opportunity to say what they want to say or to learn more about this kind of industry and really get involved. And it's a great learning experience for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I studied journalism at Carleton, and we had a great student and community radio station there. And it was a place where we could essentially cut our teeth in broadcast journalism. It was a safe place to learn, and I think that's so essential for not just journalism students, but anyone who's interested in media.
Definitely, and I mean, Colleen, you're working with the Tai'i right now, right? And I suppose that also ties in as well with the importance of independent media. And I guess, those lessons that you learned while at Carleton, working on the news team there, were they definitely applicable with the Tai'i now?
What I got at Carleton was a really good education in the basics of reporting. The questions to ask, interview techniques, how to chase a story, the ethics of news, and certainly that's helped me in the work I do at the Tai'i. I think journalism is one field, though, where you really learn by doing. And so my time at the Tai'i, working with a lot of other great journalists, has helped me learn a lot about the industry as a whole.
I think I can definitely agree with that, just speaking from this end of the microphone and knowing that even having been involved with CITR for such a short time, I've already learned so much. And I think I speak for the entire news team when I say that as students at the university, it's such a fantastic opportunity to really learn about that. And I think to become more involved in the ideas of news as well and to really learn more about both sides of the story and to want to investigate both sides of the story and not just accept what's always being reported as 100%, I guess, unbiased truth.
Yeah, and I think having the, especially when you're learning, when you're starting out, just having the time to explore different angles of a story and to go a little deeper is really important, and that's something that I feel lucky to have had at the Tai'i. When I started there as an intern, I was basically given free rein to go after the issues that I wanted to go after, and I was encouraged to dig deep and dig up the angles that mainstream media weren't covering.
Great. Well, thanks so much for talking to us, Colleen. It was really great to hear your perspectives on independent media.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. So thanks as always to Colleen Kimmett from the TIE for coming to chat with us. And remember, you, our listeners, are helping us to make the future of CITR a reality. Help us to improve our station and bring you the programming you want to hear. Remember, CITR builds audiences for local bands by supporting local music, and we've also built a lot of relationship with local musicians and venues, in addition to providing you great news like we do every Monday and Friday. So we're going to take a quick break now, but stay with us for your local news 101 headlines.
Government and Big Pharma have entered into a secret conspiracy in which secret government contracts are sold to Big Pharma that allow for secret chemicals to be placed in coffee seeds, all under the watchful eye of Big Coffee, who is secretly working with other world forces, all in a sinister plot to get alien embryos in our coffee so Big Pharma can sell us alien contraceptive pills. Or, if you'd rather get some rational news, check out Radio Free Thinker, the radio show / podcast that promotes skepticism, critical thinking, and science education. Every Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Welcome back to News 101. You're listening to CITR 101.9, and we are currently doing our fund drive right now, raising money for our station. And as most of you know, radio programming is not cheap. It's costly to produce, and the quality of programming definitely increases with the more funding that we have. Each hour of live broadcasting costs $28, and that adds up to each show costing $2,293 per year. So we need you to help us support and continue to keep our radio station and other independent media stations alive. You can call 604-822-8648 to help support.
Thanks, Jess, and I'm Claire Eagle. Thanks, as always, for tuning in for our annual Fund Drive program designed to help you, our listeners, become involved in the operations of CITR. In addition to the phone number that Jess gave you, you can also go online to citr.ca/donate to donate now. And remember, keep in mind that your very own News 101 team is aiming to make $300. So show us your support and help us reach this goal. So now for your local headlines.
In provincial news, the Ketunaha Nation has announced its strong opposition to the construction of a Jumbo Glacier mega resort in southeast BC. This past Monday, the nation delivered a declaration to the BC government announcing their official opposition to the resort, a move which has garnered acclaim by environmental groups such as the Wilderness Committee. The proposed resort would be built about 55 kilometers west of Invermere and would rest on land culturally significant to the Ketunaha peoples. Environmental organizations have long lobbied for an end to the project, citing the fact that the area is home to endangered grizzly bear and caribou populations. The proposed resort would be constructed in an area known as Katmuk, land which is designated sovereign property of the Ketunaha people under the Katmuk Declaration.
In campus news, the UBC Alma Mater Society has frozen $700 from being sent by UBC Student Club to help fund a Canadian humanitarian aid flotilla to Gaza. The money, which was being transferred to the UBC Club Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights Club through a grant from the Social Justice Center, which is an AMS resource center, was suspended after AMS executives received complaints about the activity. AMS executives told the UBC that complaints were rooted both in the resources group's support for Palestine and in the fact that students are opposed to AMS funds being sent overseas. The Social Justice Center treasurer, Ariel Friedman, responded to such claims, stating that the money was well within the group's mandate and that by suspending the transfer, the AMS is violating the Social Justice Center's autonomy. The issue will now be brought before the AMS on December 1st, only after which a decision will be made. And now we can take a quick break, but stay with us.
Vancouver is a diverse city, and that's why CITR is committed to multicultural programming. We feature music from all over the world: Ethiopia, India, France, Africa, Latin America, Russia, Iran, Jamaica, Italy, and Japan. And we don't only broadcast in English.
On diffuse dans un grand nombre de langues.
We broadcast in a number of other languages.
Pour sûr, il y aura une programmation multiculturelle à Vancouver. Supportez CITR maintenant. Appelez au 604-822-8648. 604-UBC-UNIT. Ou donnez en ligne à citr.ca/donate.
Help ensure that there will be multicultural programming in Vancouver. Support CITR now. Call 604-822-8648, 604-UBC-UNIT, or donate securely online at citr.ca/donate.
Welcome back to News 101. I'm Claire Eagle.
And I'm Jess Landing. You're hearing us on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver or online at citr.ca, broadcasting live from the Student Union Building at the University of British Columbia. Thanks for being with us today and helping us raise money for our station in our annual fund drive. We need your donations to help us continue operations at the level that our listeners deserve. This year, our big project is the Digital Library, that we house right here in the station. Call 604-822-8648 now to donate, or go to citr.ca/donate and help us ensure the longevity of our music collection.
It's 527 right now, and time for your weekday weather forecast. For that, we go to Daniel Casanova.
Thanks, Claire. Well, I hope you enjoyed the snow while it lasted, because we have rain in the forecast for the end of the week as daytime temperatures rise above freezing. Here's your UBC forecast. For tonight, clouds clearing up and increasing winds. Low of negative 7 degrees overnight, and the wind chill will go down to negative 12 degrees. For tomorrow, it will be sunny with a high of negative 4 degrees, low of negative 7. On Wednesday, mix of sun and cloud, high of negative 2, low of negative 8. For Thursday, mix of rain and snow with a high of 5 degrees, low of negative 4 degrees. For Friday, we're expecting rain with a high of 6 degrees, low of 2. On Saturday, 70% chance of showers with a high of 6 degrees, low of 0. And finally for Sunday, rain with a high of 6 and a low of 0 degrees. Currently it is negative 5 degrees and cloudy at YVR. The normal temperatures for this time of year are a maximum of 8 degrees and a low of 2. That's your weather this week, brought to you by the UBC Storm Club. For News 101, I'm Daniel Casanova.
Great. Thanks, Daniel. It's always great to have you in the Storm Club to bring us that forecast. And it's definitely, although it may seem cold, I know it's not too bad because it's looking at the weather in Calgary and it's minus 33 there right now. But right now we're going to go to Megan Turcotto for her weekly City Hall update, which you can hear every Monday here on News 101.
People up there in City Hall, this is a song for the people in the streets and the people City Hall.
City Hall makes a lot of little decisions that affect us all in big ways. This segment asks, what happened at City Hall this week?
NPA Councillor Suzanne Anton is calling for exit interviews when city staffers resign. This comes after numerous high-ranking city staff have left their posts in the last 2 years, including two deputy city managers, James Ridge and Jody Andrews, the former fire chief, the general manager of Olympic Operations, the general manager of Financial Services, and the head of Human Resources. Anton's motion says that the council is not aware of why so many managers have left in recent years, and exit interviews could shed more light on this phenomenon. Councillor Ellen Woodsworth is asking council to symbolically support Bill C-389, a bill currently being considered by Parliament that would prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender identity and gender expression. The proposed law is designed to protect transsexual Canadians from harassment and discrimination. Councillor Jang wants Vancouver to endorse the Vienna Declaration. The declaration came out of the 18th International AIDS Conference in that city. It acknowledges the harm of drug prohibition and calls for drug policy reform to remove barriers to effective HIV prevention, treatment, and care. The motion calls the so-called war on drugs a waste of taxpayer dollars, and ask council to reaffirm its support for a harm reduction-based approach to the problem of drug use in this city. Council will consider rezoning part of Main Street to allow for the construction of an 8-story commercial building and a 10-story condo tower. Developers are asking for land in the 1500 block of Main Street to be rezoned as a mixed-use area. The land located near Industrial Avenue is the former site a Vancouver Chrysler Dodge Jeep. And this has been your weekly City Hall Update. I'm Megan Turcato.
Thanks to Megan Turcato for bringing us that report. If you enjoy hearing independent programming in reports such as this, which Megan just delivered, call 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/donate now to donate to CITR and keep these features coming. Remember, your very own News 101 is aiming to make $300. Show us your support and help us reach this goal. We're now going to take a quick break, but stay with us. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Producing quality programming costs money. In fact, each hour of live broadcasting costs $28. Add that up over an entire year and you'll see that producing radio is not cheap. That's why once a year, and only once a year, CITR asks our loyal listeners to donate a bit of scratch to Fund Drive. Fund Drive 2010 is on from November 16th to 25th. With your help, we can keep quality radio alive and well. Call 604-UBC-UNIT or visit citr.ca to make your donation during Fun Drive, November 16th to 25th.
Welcome back to News 101. I'm Claire Eagle, and it's time for your News 101 Arts Report. For that, we go to Adam Yanush.
Harriet is a nationally recognized participatory play about sexual health and sexual decision-making, with a focus on grade 9 students. It has toured all over Vancouver and won multiple Jesse Awards. Director Adrian Wong of New World Theatre is getting ready to showcase this combo of sex ed and theatre to educators, sex professionals, and other youth service providers next Wednesday at 3 p.m. before doing this year's tour in schools from November 22nd till December the 10th. So here's Adrian Wong explaining about the origin of Are We There Yet?
Well, Are We There Yet is actually a longer project. It's about 10 years old, and it was the play was originally commissioned by a company in Edmonton called Concrete Theatre, and they're working pretty closely with the University of Alberta. U of A accessed some funds to do a research project to see what the effects of participatory theatre were on learning about difficult subjects, so in this case, sexuality and sexual decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
So they took the play that Concrete commissioned and then commissioned further adaptations of it in different communities. So there's a rural adaptation, there's a First Nations adaptation, and New World is the last adaptation. Ours is an urban, multicultural adaptation, and also it's our adaptation focuses a lot on sexual education for queer youth.
Okay, and why did you feel that was important?
Well, we found that... actually, through talking with Kenji Maeda, who's our connection through Vancouver Coastal Health's Condominia Project, one of his observations in doing those outreaches in the schools was that sexual education for queer youth, it kind of goes like, well, this is how it works for heterosexual couples, and it's the same for homosexual couples as well. So there wasn't really any acknowledgement that actually things are a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying through, kind of subtly, I've discovered it's quite subtle, we're trying to address the heterocentrism of this play by just making things a little bit more open.
And what reaction are you getting from the students?
Youth are invited immediately to participate in the show. One of the first participation interactions in it where we ask the students for words or feelings that they associate with sex, and then the actors have a minute to say everything they can about that word and how it relates to sex. So that's a really low-risk activity for the students. They don't have to put too much on the line, but it's high-risk for the actors, and it really is a great icebreaker.
Right.
Yeah. So we find the students love the piece. They really respond to it because it's funny. It's the cast are all, in their 20s, so it's also has a sense of peer learning.
Right.
The characters are coming to them with real problems that the students themselves may have experienced and asking them for their advice and help. And really, the students have all the information. They have all the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about getting them talking about it.
And so, like you mentioned before, that, you know, you can't be condescending. And that kind of brings to mind, you know, sort of red flags when talking to teenagers. What's the biggest thing you need to sort of be careful about or avoid doing?
we have a lot of conversations about what is appropriate and what is not appropriate inside of the school setting, just because, you know, we don't normally work inside of school settings, and since I've been in school, at least, there's been a lot of changes in terms of what you can and can't do. But, you know, for the most part, what we try to focus on are the kind of red flag issue is not listening, like not actually listening to what the students have to say. And that's the thing that brings the show kind of to a halt. If the actors somehow brush off suggestions, or they look like they're listening, but really they're just thinking about their next line, the students can, and, you know, we can, adults too, we can sense it when somebody's not really listening to us, and we don't buy in the same way. Yeah.
Okay, and one more question. What are you getting in terms of response from the adult, you know, community, in terms of, you know, teachers, parents, etc.? Is it mostly positive, or is there I don't know if you should be doing this?
No, it's all positive. It's all positive. In fact, we've had a couple of dry runs with adult audience, friendly audience, as we call them. And I find that the grown-ups, the adults, respond to it in the same way that the teens do. Like, they still buy into the characters. They have a good time. There's lots of laughing. I think most of the educators that we've spoken to in our runs of the show have found that it's a really positive way of dealing with a subject that has a lot of emotional baggage attached to it.
And do they giggle at the same funny sex words?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And we do it in rehearsal all the time. We're laughing all the time.
Right on. All right. Well, it sounds like a really positive program, and thanks so much for telling us about it today.
Hey, no problem, Adam. Have a great one.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that's Adrian Wong talking about Are We There Yet?, which is going on tour in Vancouver schools from November the 22nd. I've lost it. Where is the date? November 22nd until December 10th. And if you are a teacher or know a teacher who would like to book Are We There Yet? For your grade 9 class, then you can get in touch with Kenji at New World Theater. That's Kenji as in K-E-N-J-I at New World Theater. New World, one word, N-E-W-O-L-O-R-L-D. All right, and they're doing a show for health professionals, and if you're really keen and you're not a health professional, but you really think this is a great idea of doing a sex ed in a more interesting and compelling and creative fashion, you can maybe ask Kenji nicely if you can come to next Wednesday's special showing. It's at 3 p.m., so if you are available at 3 p.m., get in touch with Kenji at New World Theater. .com, and maybe you can sit in and see how they do this really cool program.
And that was Adam Janusz discussing are we there yet, is what I meant by that one. And remember, it is your generous donations that are keeping our station alive and bringing great reports like Adam's arts report to us. And your donations can cover everything from basic operational expenses to station improvements and equipment purchases. This year, we're aiming to improve our digital library to ensure that our enormous collection of music will last into the future. Call 604-822-8648 now, or go to citr.ca/donate to donate. We rely on your donations to make this a reality.
Hey, Claire.
Yeah, Jess?
Can you imagine life without CITR?
Gosh, I don't even know what that would be like.
What would you be doing on Mondays and Fridays?
I guess I'd just be doing maybe more homework, or sitting around listening to some radio station and thinking, wow, I wish there was more independent local music playing right now.
Yeah, about learning about what's going on in our campus, in our city, in our province.
That's very true. Like, reports like that which we just brought on the Arts Report, or Megan Turcato's City Hall Update. And Megan Turcato is actually a graduate of the CITR News Program. She used to be the head here. Or even our news headline on the AMS and the stopping of the funding. Man, I don't even know if I would know that stuff.
It's such diverse news, as well as the music that's also played on CITR. The commercial radio stations don't play that type of music or broadcast that type of news.
That's definitely true. I mean, even looking at our CD collection here in the studio, there's so much local music. I think one-third of it is local music, and that's something you just don't find everywhere. And I think we're going to invite our producer, Iqbal Ahmed, actually, to join in our discussion here. Iqbal, do you want to have anything to say?
I very much do. CITR is a great outlet for people on campus here. A lot of the money in the fundraiser is actually going to keep our music and technology up to date. I mean, when you're working in media, the technology is constantly changing. Imagine if we were to be still using cassette tapes here or 8-tracks. It takes a lot of time and money to stay up to date so we can bring you the music and news coverage that you all love. And don't let CITR fall into the dark ages. Your support enables CITR to provide content to you in the best new forms available. I mean, we even offer podcasts. You can get a podcast of this very show right after we air it. So please call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648.
And as Iqbal highlighted about our music and how we have such a varying amount of it, I think a lot of people also forget that we do put out a magazine called The Discorder. And the magazine of CITR 101.9 was born in 1983, supporting Vancouver's local music scene for over 25 years. And in that magazine, you can read about local music news, live shows, and album reviews. And I didn't even know this before now, but it was a finalist for the Magazine of the Year and Cover of the Year at the Western Canada Music Awards in 1988.
Wow, no way, I didn't know that. Man, I think it's great. I think Discord is actually something I didn't know about myself until I became involved with CITR here, but definitely taking a read-through, it's a great way to learn about some of the independent bands around here, the local music, and just to get a gander at what people are listening around here. And I mean, I think nowadays with music and the explosion of music online, it's so hard almost to find, or I guess to really delve into the wealth of music that's out there. And I think that's why radio stations like CITR that play so much independent local music that hasn't been picked up by big labels or isn't getting the airtime on mainstream radio stations is so important, because, I mean, think how hard it would be to find so much of this music if we didn't have resources like CITR or the Discord to give us reviews, to give us opinions, to even play these bands on air and to let us know that they exist. Because I think so much of the great music, it exists, it's hard to find out about.
Most definitely. Also, CITR promotes a lot of the shows that are happening, whether it be at the Biltmore or the Rickshaw, and plays a lot of the local music scene and gets it all out there and gets their music heard. And also, my art TA, her band, is played here, so I think that's pretty cool.
No way, yeah, it definitely is. I think bringing it all home 100%. And I mean, it's very, I guess what's great about CITR is that it is so local. And I think all of our news pieces, when we put together our headlines, we do try and get a good variety of campus, local, and provincial news going. So I think having that UBC news reported on air isn't something that you can get from any other radio station.
Yeah, I think there's one thing people might forget, that CITR isn't just a UBC radio station, mm-hmm. especially with our news. We cover so many just things happening in our community. Like with today, the Arch Report, we have our weekly segment just covering kind of city politics and things happening in Vancouver, the arts happening here, the politics happening here with the City Hall Report, anything. I mean, I don't think people realize that are listening that how much freedom we really have as reporters to cover things that really interest us, that makes us really independent. Like, the stories we cover can be as diverse and independent as the people who cover them. There's really no one telling us what our agenda is. And it's really great, guys.
Definitely. It's so much fun. And I think another great thing is that the station itself definitely sees itself as a voice for the economically, socially, and politically disadvantaged. And it's really great because they invite everyone to participate in the media. Basically, I think our slogan is own your frequency, and it's so true. Anyone can get involved and let their voices be heard. It's very open that way, and I think that invitation to everyone to participate in the media is just something you don't get nowadays. I mean, I'm personally interested in going to journalism and just looking at even unpaid internships with a lot of the larger broadcasting corporations. It's so hard to get them. It's so hard to become involved in these sort of activities, and it's understandable why. But at the same time, I think CITR is great in that it gives people who wouldn't have that chance to participate in the media or to let their voices be heard, it gives them the chance to really speak their minds. And I think we also, at least we try to provide alternative and local coverage on issues. And knowing the discussions we've had in preparing our news headlines and the investigations that we've done, I think we definitely do take a great effort to make sure that we provide balanced coverage and that we do bring to light issues that may not necessarily be making front page news anywhere, but that are important for people in this community to learn about.
Most definitely. And as Iqbal and Claire have been saying, in order to bring you all of this, all of the varying music, all of the independent broadcasts, and all of the local and provincial news, we need your support to continue this. So if you'd like to donate, give us a call at 604-822-8648.
And they can also go online at citr.ca/donate.
I've just been looking at some of like the incentives here to donate, and there's some fun swag coming out here with that. I think, for example, if you donate $101.9, which is our frequency, 101.9, you get a Friends of CITR card, which gives you a lot of discounts, as well as a CITR record bag and a limited edition surprise.
Ooh.
And I'm kind of tempted to donate that much just so I can find out what the surprise is, because that seems pretty cool. And if you donate $250, you get that plus a host listener hour, which seems like something that would be pretty fun to me.
And it's definitely worth noting that there's no minimum or maximum donation. You should just, give what you have, give what you, even if you, just want to give $1, just give us all the support you can, because nothing's too little, nothing's too much.
And think about it, you tune in every week or maybe even every single day driving to work or just sitting in your kitchen, and you do that free of charge, so if it takes a lot to run this, so if you could call in and donate, that would be great. And just keep in mind, it's your voice and it's your frequency. And CITR is controlled by those who produce and listen to it. So if you want to become involved with every donation of $30 or more, you get a Friends of CITR card, which means you are a member of CITR Radio.
Yeah, people should know that CITR is actually a tool for the community. It's not something that we're just talking to people, we're talking with people.
And for them in many circumstances. I think when you look at the amount of on-air interviews we have from such diverse groups, and I think there's so many different programs here focusing on different issues or even just like different genres of music, different lifestyles, and I think the fact that so many of these have people on-air interviewing means that they're really reaching out to each of their respective communities or the community as a whole and bringing in these voices and really making everyone's opinions heard, which is, I don't know, I think it's a lot of fun, actually. It's something you don't get to hear every day.
Definitely, and as an independent radio station, we can help you become the media, and you can come down to the station and get involved whenever you'd like. We're non-commercial, and we aren't owned by a huge media corporation, so that allows us to have our community and the campus become involved with the station. We don't rely on these big corporations or government for money, and no one tells our broadcasters like ourselves what we can broadcast or what we can cover, as well as what music can be played. And as well, there are very few independent stations in our region, so as one of the few, we need to keep going, and we need your support for that. So once again, you can call us at 604-822-8648 to donate, or you can donate online at citr.ca/donate.
So Jess, tell me a bit about how you first got involved with CITR.
Well, I was just walking around on one of the days when all the clubs were out, and it was there, and they all seemed really friendly, and I've been wanted to get involved with the radio before. I knew that it was very opening and very campus and community oriented before I came, so I really wanted to get involved with that. And then quite quickly, the news programmer, Andrew Longhurst, are you here, who all of you hear here every week, he got back to me, and Iqbal and I actually went downtown with him for the news on the street.
Yeah.
And which was downtown Vancouver. And that was just a great way, a great first time to get involved. We both did interviews mm-hmm. that first day, and then we came back, and that Monday it was broadcast. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Like, within maybe a day of getting involved, we were already on the air. There was, just because if you show initiative, it's so easy to get on the air. It's really easy to have a voice here.
Wow, that sounds great. And I think it's definitely such a good opportunity, because I know, speaking for myself, I got involved because I am interested in, I guess, looking into broadcast in the future, and also just the kind of opportunities that CITR offers in terms of learning how to use like the programming equipment and the soundboard, being able to interview people, just things like this, and the sense of community it has as well. I found is really great. I mean, I've only been involved for a couple months now, but already, like, the news team has been so welcoming, and same with the station as a whole. Just some really great people here who are involved, and I think it's definitely something that putting in a couple hours on the Mondays and the occasional Friday, it's not a job, it's not a chore or a burden. It's definitely a lot of fun, and it's really also, I felt it's made me more involved in campus in general, because I now have to look for things I want to cover on campus, because I want, even if there's not necessarily a story that might interest me as much, I know that there's going to be people on our campus who are listening to our radio who will want to hear coverage of an event in case they can't go to it themselves. And it's really our job to bring that to everyone. So because of that, I've attended a lot of diverse events and covered them that I wouldn't have otherwise. And I think I've learned a lot through them because I did enjoy them a lot.
Yeah, and as you said, definitely the community here is something very important. It's felt very strongly, and to say that as well, anyone can just come down to the station and walk in, and there's normally people just around here hanging out, listening to music, or putting out the shows that you're hearing. So if anyone wants to come down, become a member, I'd invite you all to come.
Even just take a general station tour is a lot of fun. Get to see some of the vending machines we have, and just visit the offices and see the on-air room or broadcasting room, or gosh, I don't know what it's called, but where all our equipment is. It's pretty interesting, actually.
And also, if you can't make it down here, there's an online tour I saw the other day when I was online.
Oh, no way. That's fun.
Yeah. And while you're there, you can also donate online. So, two in one.
Something I found also really great about being online, I guess, with CITR is also the fact that we have podcasts. I mean, it's a bit scary, really. You think, like, I'm recorded now, and I'm like, I'm going to last forever. It's kind of...
Yeah, my voice is going to be out there long after I'm dead.
Yeah.
People be digging it back up, holding against me.
Puts a lot more pressure on it, of course, but it's still interesting. And I think the fact that we have the resources to have podcasts for every single one of our shows is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, and it also shows how far, I think, broadcasting and media has come. As for the history of CITR, we've been on the air for over 25 years, since 1982. And in 1937, UBC Radio became an official student club. And then in 1982, as I said, CITR and FM fell in love and broadcasting a sweet 49 monowatts on the frequency 101.9, which we are still on.
Wow.
And then, as we were talking about how the whole media and whole broadcasting system has progressed, in 2006, CITR launched online streaming and the podcasting service we were just talking about. So keep CITR on air for another 25 years.
Yeah, to help us keep progressing, I guess, call 604-822-8648. That's 604-822-8648. And please show your support. No amount is too little, and absolutely no amount is too big.
Gosh, can you imagine that if we told someone, like, no, that's too much, you can't. I think the highest amount that we are offering incentives for is $1,000, in which you get a hoodie in addition to all the things from past pledge amounts. But definitely great opportunity right now to, I guess, give back to your station, show us how much you care, show us how much you enjoy listening to us, which I hope you do, and just give back to your community and keep us running. So for one last time, you're listening to our annual broadcast for our 2010 fund drive. We're trying to raise money, trying to raise a target of $30,000. And currently, I think we have $12,987.35. So that's just short of halfway. And we really need your support. Our news team on its own is trying to raise $300. So help us raise this money. Donate to us. Keep us an independent free radio. Don't make us a state-owned, controlled radio like down in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez. That's not what we want to be. We want to keep our independence and keep our voices being heard. So, yeah, once again, 604-822-8648 to donate.
And as Claire said, we hope you enjoy listening to us. We enjoy bringing this news to you. I know I love getting stories and writing the headlines just so I can have other people hear what is going on around the community. I know I learn a lot from it, and I hope you guys do as well.
Perfect. So that's going to be our program for today, which is November 22nd, 2010. And today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. So please help us to keep providing independent news by donating now at citr.ca/donate or by calling, say it with me,
604-822-8648.
Also, if you'd like to share your comments or get involved with the station, give us a hot news tip or anything like that, please contact us. Our phone number is 604 822 5334, or you can email us at news@citr.ca. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter with the username CITRNews. You can subscribe to our podcast and listen to past shows at CITR.ca. For more news, join us Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. I'm Claire Eagle.
And I'm Jess Landing. This show is produced entirely by your own Iqbal Ahmed. From the entire news team at CITR, thanks for listening, and thanks for all of your generous donations. Your donations help keep CITR alive. Stay tuned now for Career Fast Track at 6 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Hanging in the window of a minivan parked along the water's edge. I'd say that I was all alone. I'd say that I was all alone.